Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. They're potential manipulations. If it isn't love, it isn't valuable. If it isn't love, it can devolve into manipulation of emotions and thoughts. But when love is real, when love is present, we are free. We're free with each other. We're free for each other. All lesser values than love can devolve into manipulation and BS. So that's why I've been here now, couple of years now, bringing to you the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love. So I have recently taken a little bit of a turn or a descriptor to what I'm doing here with you. I want to invite you to pull up a chair, get comfortable, find a cup of coffee, set back a bit. Imagine, if you will, that you've walked into my pastoral council, my study. If you have ever been into a counselor's room or a pastor's room that's comfortable, I want you to imagine the most comfortable, the most appealing place that you could get, and just be comfortable with me for about a half an hour. I want to offer you the benefit of almost a half a century of my own ministry and learning through that half a century how love is the one credible human construct and value. I want to give a little more back story to that as well. I'm the receiving end, the beneficiary of a great mentor in my life. And I hope today that my mother-in-law, Carolyn Warwick, and my wife, Ginger, are listening from the climes of Plainview, Texas. And I hope as they listen, they know that I'm smiling ear to ear thinking of those two beautiful Southern queens. But they gave me a treasure in life through Carolyn Warwick's father, Dr. H. Paul Holdridge. He was my mentor. He was the pastor of pastors to me. He represented so much of the strength of character and thought and ministry that I always wanted to be. I aspired to be as much as I could be like Papa. Did we always agree? No, we didn't always agree on everything. Some of our doctrinal stances took separate paths. But I want to tell you that no matter where we may have agreed or disagreed, I will tell you this, that love was profound in that relationship. So I give you that backstory. And again, I say thank you to my mother-in-law, Carolyn, and my wife, Ginger, for giving me the opportunity through marriage to be related to this giant ministry guru, this beautiful man who mentored me generously. So if with his 50 years of ministry and my coming up on 50 years of ministry, hey, we're talking near century worth of wisdom and aspirations and a journey. I want to be sure you always hear me say, when it comes to the subject of love, or any subject for that matter, but especially the subject of love, I do not pretend that I have arrived. I'm journeying. I'm reaching. I'm climbing this mountain. I'm convinced it's going to take me all of eternity to plumb the depth and to assimilate what love really is all about for all of eternity. What is heaven to me? I'll tell you what heaven is to me. Heaven is capital L-O-V-E, love. That's what heaven's going to look like. That's what heaven will radiate with. That's what heaven will sustain human existence with, is love, the ultimate of love. But I also believe that in this journey on earth, that we ought to reach for as much heaven on earth as we know how. In fact, that's the answer to the prayer of Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Love is the capital city of heaven. Love is the radiance. It's the atmosphere of heaven. It's the air we'll breathe. And as such, then our prayer, our aspirations, our journey needs to be toward love. My own personal journey has been one of love and finding it and defining it and refining it and then offering it to as many people as I know how through my humanness, my being a dad, being a husband, being a pastor, and all the other adventures I've lived in this life. Love. Love makes the world go around, right? You know that. So today, pull up your chair, get a cup of coffee, get comfortable. Let me talk to you about the construction zone of love. That love is a construction zone. Love is not a once-for-all arrival. Love is a place where you'll build and you'll grow. And in fact, you'll have to tear a few things down along the way as you discover that your previous definitions of love were inadequate. You will, along the way, you'll discover that you had a love that served you well at a certain point of your life, but you had to find a bigger room for your love, a bigger place, more cabinet space. I'm always saying, my wife's always saying in our own home, you know, when I grow up, I want better cabinet space. I believe that when we grow up, we'll all want better love and a better loving ability, a love ability in this life. The construction zone of love is what we're going to talk about today. And I want to make sure that you hear me say it again, that our purpose in life ought to be to love. And that if we're loved in return, well, that'd be a great bonus. But we must learn to adamantly refuse to wait for love to arrive back at our heart's doorstep as a decision or determination for our love to be activated. I hope you hear what I'm saying there. I'm not waiting for you to love me back in order for me to be certain that I'm loving you. I'm going to love you whether you love me back or not. And you know, after all, isn't that the way God's love works? Isn't that the love of God? See, God loved us first. We didn't love him, and then he all of a sudden said, oh, you know what? I do love you after all, you cute thing. No, we love because he loved us first. First John. First John is the Grand Canyon of the definition of love. God is love and love is God, and he who dwells in God dwells in love, and he who dwells in love dwells in God. God and love are synonymous, and in fact, I like to, every time I use the word love in a sentence or on any kind of written expression, I capitalize love with a capital L, especially when I want to drive home the point that love isn't some plaything. Love isn't some it's not a pair of socks you put on in the morning if you want to. It is the essential virtue of life. All I need to know about the will of God for my life, by the way, and all you need to know about the will of God for your life is that you're called to be a lover. Everything else is going to grow out of that. Everything else in your life will grow out of being a lover. As you love your children, as you love your family, as you love your neighbor, as you love your spouse, as you love yourself. All of the will of God will grow out of the great garden of love. So the construction zone of love is, you know, all the days of our life, we're building love. And as we build love, as we form and shape love, we are going to find out that there's some stuff that just doesn't work in the construction material. There's just some things that are not going to sustain the weight of love. When you move your life into a revolution of the kind of things I'm talking about here, you will find out there's just some stuff. As it goes with the byline of my radio broadcast, just BS. Get rid of it. Just flush it away. It's not going to carry the weight of the glory and the goodness of love. When we make a determination to have a construction zone of love in our life, we will pick and choose the building materials that we bring into that zone very carefully. And we'll have to do some trial and error. I'll grant you that. But I know this, that when love is present, as I build my life and my relationships, when love is present, it's strong, and it's strong enough to sustain me and to sustain relationships and to sustain strains that may come in my relationships. I mentioned to you earlier my mentor, a man by the name of H. Paul Holdridge, that we had our doctrinal differences. I knew that. He knew that. In fact, I used to have the privilege of time. I call it windshield time, when we drive together and to conferences a few times. And we had hours on end to just talk. And my fondest memories of conversations with Papa, as we affectionately called him, were times when I'd have to sharpen my own knife of cutting into my own doctrinal theories, as he would speak to me of his own views. And I found that his love was so strong and so stable. I never felt threatened. I never felt like he was fighting me. I never felt that he was debating me. I never, ever felt once that he needed me to think exactly like him. And in fact, he usually only gave me his best advice when I asked. But he never gave me unwelcomed advice. In fact, if you go back to the archives of this broadcast to listen to last week about unwelcomed advice, it's the worst possible advice that can be offered or forced. You just can't do it. So, in the construction zone of love, pick and choose your building materials carefully. Love is enough. It will encompass a strategy. If maybe it's a strategy that you learn to write down. Write yourself notes. Heck, keep a journal. I'm a great believer in journals. I have several that I keep. So when I have a thought that really explodes in me and I suddenly realize, oh my goodness, I need to hang on to that. I don't just hope that my mind's going to retain it, especially at 68. I'm in the point of discovering in this construction zone, I forget where I put my hammer down. I write stuff down. I have to write things down. And especially when I know that I've just discovered a valuable treasure for the building of my love. So, in constructing love, recognize that being rejected or cursed, being abused in your life, that those are not the enemies of love. And in fact, they can be the refiners of our love. Rejection, being cursed and being refused, pushed back. Don't allow yourself to be controlled by the rejection of others. Take the keys to your own life into your own hand and put them in your own pocket. Don't give the keys to anyone else when it comes to rejection or cursing you. Because if you do, you're a backseat driver and you've allowed somebody else to take you on your trip. Now you've just got to curl up in the back seat and hope for the best. But if you can hang on to the keys of your car and be the driver of your own vehicle, all the while being cursed or rejected, you are going to discover love that is a furious glory. It's going to look exactly like, are you ready for this? The kind of love that is rejected and refused and cursed that looks like the love of God. The love of God, that grand, beautiful, majestic, kingly, queenly, royal love of God, is the most rejected, cursed love in all of history. But the love of God never fails. It never relents. It never lays down. The love of God doesn't take a back seat and say, well, here's the keys to the car, you drive it. His love will continue. In fact, I like to imagine that the love of God grows more strong and affectionate when it's cursed, are rejected, abused. The love of God grows more tender, seeing that a child is kicking and screaming and saying, I don't love you anymore, I hate you. I imagine the love of God grows more passionate and more compassionate when it's being rejected. Maybe that's what we're needing to learn in this construction zone of love, that rejection is an invitation to tenderness. Rejection is an invitation to weeping. In fact, I want to introduce another subject I've talked about a lot here over the past few years, and that is one of the things we don't do well, especially in Western Christianity, is we don't lament. We don't grieve well. We don't cry well. We don't allow ourselves tears for the night. When rejection, when confusion, when cursing comes our way, we often feel compelled to fight back, to reject back, to give it back as it was given to us. When I would suggest that the greatest construction of love in your life is when you can lament and grieve a bit and cry, weep with real honesty about rejection. And I don't mean to feel sorry or to be pitiful about it. I mean to honestly feel the rejection, to honestly allow it a moment to settle in you that hurts, and it hurts genuinely. And you can allow yourself that with the sense that this is building something in me that nothing else can build. This is growing something in me that nowhere else can it be grown. And it's, as with the analogy I'm using today, it can build something. It's a construction zone. It's hard hat area. It's a place to put on your hard hat and protect yourself. But while you protect yourself, go ahead and cry a bit. Somebody once said about grieving, when you lose somebody or you lose something valuable and you cry about it, and then you find yourself not weeping over a period of time, that weeping lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But then again, over time, you come back and you weep a little bit. Some folks wonder, well, is there something wrong with me? I've heard it said that as long as you're crying, you're still grieving. As long as there are tears, you're still weeping and mourning over a loss, and that's perfectly fine. Real grief is the recognition that I've lost the object of my love. And that can be a lover, a spouse, a wife, a husband, a child. Real grief is having lost the tangible object. I should say it that way. The tangible object of my love is now missing. And I weep because I've lost that target, my ability to touch or hug or kiss or just hold the object of my love is now gone. And that creates honest and healthy grieving. So in the construction zone of love, recognize that rejection and cursing and even outright death and rejection of your love can create something in you, build something in you that nothing else can build. And it will give you a moment to be wise enough to live large wherever you find yourself welcomed with your love. Hear that carefully. If your love has been unwelcomed, then weep a bit or weep a while. But then remember, you've still got love to give, and know that there's going to be a place where your love is welcomed. And you can go forward to that place to give welcomed love in a way that will bring love back to you. It'll bring back strength and health to you in this construction of love. Another factor of the construction of love is the construction zone of love is remembering that your future is going to belong to the rooms you build for love. Whatever you build for your future, and build your future with the idea that love is out there. There's never, ever an end. Never, ever an end to any of our love. I'm telling you, folks, so be careful of saying of any disappointment you have, I'll never love again. Be careful of that, because I'm convinced that love is eternal. Love goes on forever. You will love again. And in knowing that, when you build love in your mind and in your thoughts and in your purposes and in your priorities, in the construction zone of love, keep the future open for love. Keep the future throbbing with a hope for and a desire for love. I may have told this story here before, but it bears repeating now. When my mother passed away, I got to spend the last 9 days of her life with her, just day in and day out in the hospital room as she was slowly slipping from this world. In the last moments of her life, in the very last, as I watched her heart monitor slowly stop, and her natural life was just ebbing away from her. I kissed her on the forehead. I said, "Mom, I love you." And I heard not an audible voice, but an internal voice in me that I believed to be the voice of God. And that voice said, "Hey, bud, two's company, three's a crowd." It hit me in such a beautiful weight. I recognized that in that moment that God had picked my mother up and swooped her up in his arms, and they danced off into eternity. And it wasn't my time. It wasn't my moment. Two's company, three's a crowd. I gave her a kiss goodbye, and it was in that moment that I literally gave myself to see her off into that eternal journey of love. The reason I bring that up is it is such a magnificent parable in my own life and mind about what love looks like. That's what love looks like. People worry about, what's going to happen when I die? I'll tell you what's going to happen when you die. You're going to open your eyes and look into the face of the most majestic, enormous, beautiful, absorbing love that you could ever imagine. Love will greet you when you open your eyes on the other side of death. Do not fear it, because love will meet you there. I understand. There's a lot of other variables that can be seen in that. But my point here is this. In the construction zone of love, make sure that you create a lot of room, a lot of space for the future as it relates to your love life. The future belongs to lovers. You want your future to be failure-proof? Then put your future in the zone, the construction zone of love. Genuine love for others has no place for self-pity, self-contempt, or giving up and quitting. Genuine love for others will always keep you on a pace towards something about love. And we talked earlier about being criticized or rejected or thrown aside because of love, or cursed. That's the word I was looking for. See, your love may not be received, and it may not ever be received, at least in this world or life, but it can build a bigger place in you. That's the construction zone of love. It'll build a bigger place in you to learn about the majesty of love growing in your own heart and life. Love alone is credible, folks. Love is the ultimate beauty of all human life. Love is the construct that we need to, each one of us, be picking up the bricks and the mortar and the hammer and the nails and the lumber, picking up a paintbrush, creating a construction zone that looks like love. What does love look like today? Now, it could be just as simple as sustaining a good relationship with your neighbor, or it could be as complex as loving your enemies. However simple or complex it may be, keep your life in the middle of a construction zone called love. Love does the heavy lifting. It'll always do the heavy lifting. People say to me, or ask me often, how is it you love so easily? And my answer is, as I just laughed, it is not easy. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for anybody. It does the heavy lifting. Love is a strength that requires a kind of a superhuman ability that you develop over time. All right, we're coming to the close, and if you've been here before, you know where I'm headed. I want you to do something really simple with me. I want you to breathe. I want you to breathe deep, and I want you to hold that breath in. And as you draw that breath in, draw in love. Pull love into your lungs all the way to the bottom of your lungs. On the count of three, I want you to breathe deeply with me. All right? One, two, three. Inhale all the love that you can hold, and hold it in there. And exhale, thank you. One more time. Inhale all the love you can imagine, and exhale. And next is another exercise that I'm kind of becoming famous for. I'm learning as I journey about and have conversations with people. Maybe it's infamous. I don't know. I'm just becoming known for this exercise, and that is look somebody in the eye, slow yourself down, pay attention, be intentional, and say the three most charmed words in the human language. I love you. Don't say it rapid fire. Don't give it a shrug of the shoulders. Love ya. Make sure you slow it down. Give yourself the moment to look them in the eye. Yeah, it's awkward. It's weird. I've seen that awkward, weird look in so many eyes as I practice this exercise. But I'm going to tell you, it's worth it, especially for your own thinking and your own construction zone of love. Look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. Well, thank you for giving me the honor of your time. As I said, I wanted you to just pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee, and let this pastor give you some counsel that I hope will help you along the way. The construction zone of love. You are loved by me. I hope someday that I can see more and more of you, and I'll make it weird. I'll make it awkward. I'll look you in the eye and say, hey, you, I love you. Now go out there, everybody. Do something beautiful today, because, oh, heaven knows, oh, my heart is aching. Ugly has been done to death, literally. It's time for people of beauty to arise and shine and do something beautiful every single day in the construction zone of love. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.